The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
All right, we're already to the middle of the week and nothing bad has happened yet. Let's change this. What are the odds it happens? Percent 1,000, because that's how we roll. It's the Blitz.
And here we go.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, Deep South Barrels presents What Are the Odds Wednesday?
Bold enough to improve on a 4,700-year-old tradition. Are you?
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE Factory Approved Warehouse Outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for Wednesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Jong Lee, the master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real. At Jongi Football, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it is a Wednesday. We do things just a little bit differently on Wednesdays. If you call or text or, you know, write a note and slide it under the door, put odds on it.
What are the odds that some dummy opened the blinds and now I'm going to have to do the whole show with the sun in my face or else I'm going to actually have to get up and close them again? Why would someone do that?
We do have a break in 11 minutes. You could just get up and close it. I don't know what these knuckleheads in the morning do in here.
No one ever puts things back where they were, you know?
Yeah, they steal your headphones. They open the blinds. They move chairs around.
Yeah, all the chairs get moved around. Who did that, John?
I have no idea. Ugh. Somebody in the morning.
They want me in here squinting all afternoon? Thank you. Oh, look at Jong. Just saved the day.
See, that's why Jong's a pro.
I'm so pathetic. No, those are fine. Those don't bother me because the sun's not shining in my face.
Mainly because I'm blocking these off.
That's true. That's true. I've worked with Jong for so long that he knows I'm such a crybaby diva that if he didn't come in here and fix that, it would have ruined the whole show. So kudos to Jong for finally figuring this out.
Well, I think it would have made for about 10 minutes of you whining about it, and then one of us would have closed it.
At least 10 minutes.
What else is happening today?
Sports and stuff, man. What's going on with you?
Not a damn thing. Just feeling good about life.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
It's Wednesday. We're halfway home.
Indeed. I started thinking, though, when I said nothing bad's happened yet, it's probably because we didn't let a certain guy on the air or else something bad might have happened. So I was thinking, I was going to come in and tell John, hey, you know what? I've been taking a bunch of painkillers on the way from the airport, so I'm going to do half the show in Spanish. Is that okay? And so I guess that counts.
Is that okay?
Is it?
Is it frowned upon?
I don't know. First, I have to learn a little more Spanish because I don't think I can do 50%.
Yeah.
Basically, every other word would be, ¿Cómo se dice?
Right. No, that'd be annoying.
Yeah, that would get very annoying.
That'd be annoying.
Yeah. Probably best to keep that off the air, huh?
We are now... What day is it? Wednesday. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We are like 75 hours away from UFC 194.
You excited?
And no one got hurt.
It's early yet.
No, if you get hurt on Wednesday of fight week, Dana White will kill you. He'll kill you dead. So there's really
we've had fights canceled on Friday before.
Yeah, I mean usually there's like a problem at weigh-ins or something like that. Like a guy gets sick on the scale. But 99% of the time, when you make it to Wednesday of fight week, there's no injuries that can happen unless you, like, slip and fall in the sauna or something like that, which knock on this fake wood desk that doesn't happen. But I feel good about it. And this is I haven't looked forward to a UFC card like this in a long, long time, man. Top to bottom, that thing is stacked.
Well, it'll be a lot of fun. You going to watch it at home or are you going out?
I'm going to my buddy's house.
Cool.
A buddy of mine, Don, is having a little get-together, and we watch a lot of the fights over there, so it'll be a good time, some good brew. And
yeah, I'm hearing the weather's supposed to be really bad Saturday night, so I'm probably going to be watching at Casa del Falcon.
Yeah.
But what really worries me about that is if the weather is that bad, every now and then the whole satellite thing goes. And
that sucks.
And I'm going to spend $60 to not see it.
But I've already confirmed with Don that because when I go to his place, he lives like in Katy, like Cinco Ranch area. And it's like a long haul for me, you know? So I like to go down there and either I've got to barely drink at all so I can drive home, or I have to have my wife come get me when I'm totally obliterated, and that pisses her off a lot.
Does he not have a couch?
That's what I've already discussed with him this time. So this time I'm going to sleep on his couch, and I'm going to get as drunk as I want to get watching these fights.
See, I kind of have a couch exchange program with my friends who live outside of downtown. When I go to their place,
yeah,
crash on the couch. They come to my place, crash on the couch. Works much easier.
Well, he did stay at my house last time we drank there, so I think it evens out. So I'm excited about the whole weekend, Fred. I really am. I don't have to work on Saturday.
Good for you.
Which is something new for me, at least in recent history. That's something new, because it feels like every weekend I'm having to work, but not this one.
Yeah, I think I'm doing a couple of those for you later in the month.
I think you.
John's gonna have to remind me the dates because you know I'm old and I drink a lot.
Right.
So. 713-780 ESPN and
going to the football game on Sunday, yes or no?
No.
Watching at home. I'm giving great thought to that as well.
I'm not a fan of going to night games because by the time you get out of there, it's so ridiculously late. And I like to sit at home and drink during a night game.
Yeah.
And the last thing I want to do is go to the game, drink, and then stagger home at like 2 in the morning.
But these are the games, God, and this makes me sound like it's not like I'm got season tickets, but I really hate to miss the games where great players come through.
Yeah.
Like, how many more chances am I going to have to see Tom Brady? You know?
Probably not many. And, yeah, that's the thing. I got a friend that's got a couple extra tickets. I'll probably take them.
So you are going to go? Did you change your mind in the last 30 seconds?
No. I mean, it's 50-50 on whether he's going to have them. If he does, I'm taking them.
Okay.
So, because that's the one thing I would like to go and see Brady. But I don't enjoy the game day atmosphere as much at night, mainly because you start drinking way too early. And you're usually drunk by the time you get to the game. And then it just gets worse from there. I'd rather just sit at home and do that. And that way, if I want to pass out at halftime, I'm on my own couch. Then I can wake up and watch the second half.
Okay.
So, I would say it's 50-50 I get them. And it's probably 40-60 I actually take them.
Okay.
So I'm thinking about it just because I would like to see Brady one more time, although I've seen him enough times now.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel, but I don't know. Plus, when you're in the press box, you have to deal with other media people.
Well, and that's the thing. If I go, it'll be with tickets. I'm not going to go sit in that press box.
I like about 3 or 4 people who go up to that press box, and everyone else I want to throw something at. Even the people I don't know, like from a distance, they annoy me. So it's very difficult.
Yeah,
the
last time I went, it's like the first 5 people I saw were all people I just don't want to even be around. I don't want to be in the same building with them, much less the same room.
And I don't understand why they still hand out paper stats at the end of every quarter. You know, I've got my laptop. I don't need you to kill trees on my account. I try to tell them, listen, I don't need it. Every time they walk by, they try to hand me like the packet of stats.
It's like, I have a phone. It's on ESPN.
Yeah.
It's got all the stats
as
we go.
I've got this handled.
713-780-ESPN is your number. And if you want to get in next segment, we'll take some phone calls because the first couple days, yesterday we were guest heavy, so we didn't really get too many calls. Monday we were on location, which is always, it's always a disaster to try to get calls on. So I do want to get some calls on today. We will do... Definitely we'll do a next segment. 713-780-ESPN.
And we've got Anthony Munoz on today.
Yes, that's one Hall of Famer that we know will show up.
One with 100% certainty.
Yeah, and 100% sobriety.
Yep. So, we got another guest. We'll have a surprise guest for you later on in the program. So there's some good stuff going on today.
But we'll talk a lot more about the UFC as it gets closer.
And, Fred.
Yes.
You see what I've got here?
It looks like a growler.
That is beer that was bottled today by our good friends over at Carbach. So we'll have some day drinking on the air today.
So we're going to do this on a Wednesday instead of a Friday. We've kind of gone without for a couple Fridays.
So. Yeah, so we're making up for like the last couple Fridays.
Yeah, we should probably just do it the next 3 days.
Yeah.
So, awesome.
We don't have enough to get hammered on, but this is 10%.
Yeah, that's a full growler between the two of us. I guess we can include Jong on this.
I don't know if Jong never. He always like he slow plays it. He acts like it's hot tea or something, and he sips it. You trying to get down on this today, Jong?
I mean, whiskey is a different thing than beer.
Right.
But
you drink beer like it's whiskey.
Well, yeah. I mean, I have the break to run and stuff like that. So, I mean, I drink all of it, though.
Okay.
But you have to admit, one of the funniest shows we did was you getting completely hammered, talking more than you've ever talked in your life, and singing.
That was really strong beer.
That was a good show.
That was a great show.
I told John next time that we have enough beer to do John karaoke, like next time we have enough beer to get John drunk, he's going to do Adele, which I'm very excited about that performance. I don't know when it'll be.
It's going to happen. You just have to keep listening.
Yeah.
It'll happen at one of these points.
Because, like, randomly different breweries or vendors bring us beer on Fridays usually. And one of these times, John is going to get lit enough that he sings Adele.
I would almost pay for that.
Oh, I'm excited about it. I'm definitely excited about it.
A couple things from Twitter. Froby's asking, since the high school state championship games are reliant this year, what are the odds y'all attend any of them? %0 for me. I have no interest. Honestly, high school football is one of those things that if you root for one of the teams, you care about it deeply. If you don't, unless you're one of those people who cares about recruiting so much that you go watch players who are going to play for your school, it's a very limited interest thing in terms of what people are into. And, yeah, not for me. I've been to enough high school games in my life. That's one of those things that, and back when Lamarck was winning state championships, I'd go every year. That was fun because it was my school. But yeah. I have no interest in going to see anybody else. It's just, I think part of this, the older I get, the less I want to even be at sporting events. There's just too many damn people. I've got, and my living room's great. I have a great TV. I can pause and go back and look at things again.
This is what I say all the time, Fred.
Yeah.
Your living room is the best. It's the best sports bar. It's the best sports venue.
In fact, there's only been a few times this year where I've even gone to a bar to watch games because there were two or three games on I wanted to watch at once in college. And I don't have the same setup that DirecTV does for the NFL, where I can watch all 8 games at once. But I think it's only been once this year that I've even gone out, and I've only gone to one Texans game. I'm getting old, man.
You are.
I know it's fun. It's still fun to go sometimes, but it's after every time I go, I'll tell you exactly what it's like. It's like the cook-off before the rodeo. Every year, I'm like, yeah, this sounds like a good idea. I'll go. And every year, it's miserable. Because there's too many people, and I hate it, and I swear never again. It's kind of how I feel about going to Reliant for a game now.
Hmm?
NRG, excuse me. But you know what happens? I still go back.
It always draws you back in.
Yes. Just when I think I'm out.
Hello from the other side.
All right, we're going to take a very quick break. I don't know. I know it sounds bad because a lot of people love going to the games, but between the two of us, we've probably been to 10,000 games in our life. Do I need to go to any more?
No, I'm gamed out. And I don't understand the high school football thing unless you, like, know someone playing.
Yeah, or it's your school. I can get that. But even then, once you get to a certain point, you don't know any of the kids.
I'm not going to my old high school to watch them play football. What am I? What is that?
Well, at this stage, no. I mean, you don't know any of the kids there. I mean, maybe if it's your friend's son.
The last high school game I went to was my brother's last high school game, which was state semifinals. And I was like, oh, thank God I don't have to go to another high school football game until my kids are in high school. Although I've got my cousins who live down in Sweeney are in like 7th, 8th grade, and they're playing high school or they're playing junior high football. So maybe when they get to high school, I'll go see them once or twice. But I'm not going to see kids I don't know play football. That sounds terrible.
It's a little creepy, isn't it?
It's weird.
Going to watch a bunch of high school kids you don't know?
Is it any less weird when you go watch college?
I don't know.
Why are we, like, that extra year makes it socially acceptable to go watch them play football?
Well, I mean, theoretically, those are adults. That's theoretically. True. Brandon wants to know, what are the odds I hit my Texans +4 and over 46 parlay? I don't feel good about Texans +4. I'm not sure I feel good about the over either. I wish you the best of luck with that, though.
Yeah.
I hope you hit it. I'm not going anywhere near that game. All right, let's get them lined up for some phone calls when we come back. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. It's just one of those days.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, Deep South Barrels presents What Are the Odds Wednesday? This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. What are the odds? Wednesday. And did you see we were just talking about this off air, but Jason Stark tweeted out, Astros talking to the Phillies about Ken Giles. Vincent Velasquez appears to be the key piece to that. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Velasquez, but that's a need. So, I just like him to do something. I'm kind of getting antsy while all this stuff happens, and they're just sort of sitting there. Let's take some phone calls on a What Are the Odds Wednesday. Let us lead it off with Jonathan. What's up, Jonathan?
What's going on, guys?
Sports.
I got two for you guys. What are the odds I cover -6 in New England versus the Texans? And the other one is, what are the odds Bill O'Brien and Tom Brady trash talk one another during the game? I'll hang up and listen.
I can't imagine that Bill O'Brien. I mean, Tom Brady doesn't seem like the guy to talk smack to coaches. He doesn't need to do that. Like, whatever Bill O'Brien does for the rest of his career, he's not going to accomplish as much as what Tom Brady has.
Well, he's always going to be remembered as a guy that got in the screaming match with him on the sideline.
Yeah, though. Like I feel like Tom Brady's too big to do that.
Oh, I don't think he is. I think Tom Brady will jack with him.
You think so?
Yeah, I'll go 75%, especially if the Patriots are winning. Then yeah, he'll talk some smack to O'Brien.
Okay, I just feel like
I think it'll be good natured.
Okay,
it's not going to be
ribbing.
Like, yeah, not going to be like, you sucked on Hard Knocks, man. It's going to be more like, yeah, look at the scoreboard, Billy.
Why? Patriots -6. I feel you got a bad number.
Yeah, that is a bad number. From what I've seen, everything's right around 4.
I'm seeing 3 on one site now. Not the site I normally use. BetUS is not the site I normally use, but it's a site I use occasionally, and they've got 3. Hmm. 6 is a rough number. Based on how they've been playing lately, I don't know how I'd feel about that, but I mean,
it's one of those. If the Texans had actually won, yeah, I'm seeing 3 right now also. The Texans had actually won last week. It'd probably be close to a pick 'em the way the Patriots played. And then, then you could really unload on the Patriots and feel good because you'd be getting good value. But to me, that line should be between 4 and 6. And I think 4, 4.5 is what it should be right now, sitting at 3. I'd probably go Patriots. If it's outside of that, I'd probably go Texans.
Yeah.
But I don't have a ton of interest in playing that game. There's some interesting numbers this week, including a double-digit division dog.
Yeah.
Your Chargers at Kansas City.
Some of the games I like on those, the buy low, sell high, Vikings this week, Falcons this week, and Raiders this week.
I can't bet the Falcons ever again.
No?
I'm out on the Falcons. They have beaten me like a drum this year. And I did so well with them early, and then they will not get another dime of mine.
Yeah.
Let's try.
I may take the Rams. I don't know. That's a rough one too. Rams like against the Lions. Rams are a pick 'em. Ugh.
Let's try another phone call. Charles, you're on the Blitz. Go,
Sports.
Sir.
Sports to you.
All right, guys. It's a 2-part question. Number one, what are the odds that the SEC West is going to have another terrible stat line when it comes to the Bulls this year? And also part two is, what are the odds that Clemson has a chance to win the whole thing? And just a little bit of a bonus. If the SEC in general does have a bad bowl season, do you think the SEC bias is going to kind of taper down? And I'll hang up and listen.
I feel like the SEC bias has kind of tapered down.
Yeah, honestly, I don't know what SEC bias you're talking about.
I mean, I know
about,
that
they get credit for being the best conference, but how is that SEC bias? And how many national championships did they win in a row? Yeah. How many guys they send to the NFL? And first off, it doesn't matter if they have bad bowl games. Bowl games don't mean a damn thing unless you're in the playoff. And they're going to mean something for some teams that are, you know, getting to go to big bowls for the first time. But do you really think LSU cares about coming to the Texas Bowl? No offense, Texas Bowl, but LSU had bigger goals than that, right? They don't care. And last year, Mississippi kid gave two bleeps when they played TCU. It depends on, yeah, if it's one of those teams that it's a big reward for them to be somewhere, they're excited about it.
The SEC, which, by the way, the SEC and Big Ten both have 10 bowl games, 10 teams that made bowl games. The SEC is a favorite in 9 of their 10 bowl games. The Big Ten is a favorite in 4 of their 10.
But having said that, I'll bet against a bunch of these teams.
Oh, for sure.
Because for a lot of reasons. And
that the one
LSU is a pretty good example. I mean, it's a nice trip to Houston. They're going to come here and have a lot of fun. They don't care about that game.
The one underdog in the SEC is Florida. They're getting 4 points against Michigan. I'll be betting against the SEC.
Yeah, I'll probably take Oklahoma State against Mississippi. Getting 7 points.
7 points, yeah.
Yeah. I probably won't take Northwestern against Tennessee. That's actually a good bowl game for Tennessee. So a lot of this comes down to, you know, the teams that look at it as a reward, and then there's teams that look at it as a failure that they're in this bowl.
Right. And as far as Clemson winning the whole thing, I think it's a long shot. I think Clemson loses the first game. I've been saying for a while now, I think Oklahoma and Alabama, if they both make it, that's the two teams that'll play in the final. I still believe that.
I like this Clemson team, though.
I do, too. I like this Oklahoma team the way they're playing right now.
Yeah, I do think, though, that the hard thing for me would be beating Oklahoma and Alabama back-to-back, which is what I think you're going to have to do. It's hard for me to imagine them doing that, but if anybody can, I think it's this Clemson team. I've given up on them Clemsoning this year. They're in the playoffs, so they can't Clemson, no matter what happens.
Right.
Because they're not favored against Oklahoma. But I think they can win it. It's just really the only one of the four that I would say has very little chance is Michigan State.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they can get by Alabama, and I don't think that style is going to work 2 games in a row against that kind of caliber team.
Well, that's the style that they bring is the worst possible style to bring to Alabama.
Yeah. It's the same
line
kind of,
up, and right. we're gonna grind it out on you. We've seen it 100 times. That's Alabama style, and they're just better than you at it.
Well, the way you beat Alabama is you spread it out, and you make some big plays, and you piss off Nick Saban by going fast because he hates that.
Yeah,
and that's how Mississippi beat him. That's how A&M beat him a couple years ago. That's how Ohio State beat him last year. And then once you spread it out, they're able to run the football against him. I think Oklahoma can do that, and I think Clemson can do that. I just don't think Michigan State can. Let's try one more. Nick, you are on the Blitz on a What Are the Odds Wednesday. What is up, sir?
Sports guys, what's going on?
Sports to you.
What are the odds now that Kobe's career is winding down and we're seeing all this Hall of Fame highlight reel stuff that people are going to forget what they don't like about Kobe, and he's going to kind of get the Derek Jeter treatment with all the standing ovation and everything like that? And also, I was going to let you guys know that DBH has a new one coming out next week, but it sounds like AJ's already got it under control. So that's all I got.
Yep, under control, my man. Yeah, the new the new BBH comes out next week, and it's going to be good stuff. They've got some good barrels that they put that thing in. So, and in fact, I think it's already on tap at the tap room. So,
yeah, I need to get out there. I haven't been there in a couple months.
Yeah, the restaurant the there is fantastic.
You know, that restaurant, they've got second best poutine in all the city.
Right.
So go check it out. 713-780-ESPN. Aggravated man, what is really wrong with this Rockets team? Is Harden the problem? I think what's wrong with this Rockets team is it's kind of a bad mix of players right now that's just not playing very well, and your superstar is not playing his best basketball. It's one of those – I kind of think it's too early to start saying, okay, this team isn't going to work the way it is, because – yeah, you know, I do think there's some areas where they can improve. They can start making some shots. But, you know, we've got enough of a body of work now to look at this team and say, boy, they're just not playing very good basketball.
Right.
And the main difference between this year and last year when they played teams they were supposed to beat, they beat them. There were maybe 3 games that I can remember where, like, they lost to the Lakers early. There were games where they played bad teams where they lost. Well, this year they've lost to a lot of bad teams. And, I mean, let's face it, Brooklyn's a bad team. But I just don't think they're playing very well right now. And I think that, I don't know what's wrong with them. But I think when you fire the coach and, you got the same group of players there and you're getting the same results, you've got some systemic problems that have to be fixed. They've got to quit turning the ball over, for one thing. That's the biggest. And they've got to find somebody who can actually shoot three-pointers.
And I've heard more and more rumblings. Listen, we all know that that no matter what happens, James Harden is he's the foundation of this team. That's who they're going to build around no matter what. I've heard more and more, though, that Dwight Howard may be gone by the time the deadline rolls around. And a lot of people don't necessarily like the idea of that, but I think you have to start looking at it as a realistic possibility, because, I mean, you tell me, Fred, what's the best they could do with Dwight Howard and James Harden? I'm not sure.
Well, it's a little early to hit the reset button, although if you get into January and you're still doing this, absolutely. Absolutely, you make a move.
Do they need him when this is the kind of offense they want to run? I don't know.
What they need are a couple guys who can actually shoot three-pointers. I mean, make three-pointers, not shoot three-pointers. They got plenty of guys who shoot them.
Right.
But they don't have guys who make them. And he's actually a good guy to have around that for spacing if you've got guys who are – if you're playing inside out, but they're not.
I've also seen a lot lately where – well, I say a lot, a couple times lately, and when it's been successful is when the ball's in Ty Lawson's hands and he's kind of setting up the offense, but James Harden is not going to play that game for very long. And, I mean, it's just I've said it before, I'll keep saying it, it's a struggle to build a great team around a guy like James Harden. And, you know, I know I'm in the minority on that, and that's fine. But I think it takes a very particular set of guys to play with a guy like that. And right now I don't think they have it. And I don't know what the answer is, what they could get for Dwight Howard, what the comeback would be that would make him significantly better. And I don't know if they would necessarily be making the trade for this season if they traded Dwight Howard.
You wouldn't be making it for this season. If you're trading him, you basically are punting on this year.
Right, and you're saying, well, maybe we'll come back next year with a new squad and hope that we can get some things right. But I would not be surprised at all to see that happen by the time the trade deadline rolls around.
And to Dude's Kobe question, yeah, everybody's going to forget everything.
Oh, they will.
Yeah, that's just how we are as Americans. We tear people down when they screw up, and then we forgive them, and we all love them, and
move on.
Yeah, everybody's going to forget that he can't play anymore. And 10 years from now, nobody's going to talk about the fact that his last 3 years in the league, he was useless or that he was a rapist.
Can we also say, though, that the Derek Jeter treatment, comparing that to the Kobe treatment, isn't necessarily fair, because Derek Jeter was still a useful player his last season in the league.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But, and Kobe's not, but I think the whole goodbye tour thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Like that's what he, like, I think that's what he was
talking
about.
Roll him out there, give him a gift, things like that.
Yeah, I wonder if he gives gift baskets to girls that he meets in Colorado hotels.
I don't think that's what he gives them.
Okay.
All right, guys, if you can see dirt stains or mud tracks on your carpet or rug, if there's dirt you can see, just imagine what you can't see with the naked eye. All the bacteria, the allergens, the flea eggs, that stuff is all over you, your pets, your kids, your baby. Dirt Free, your one-stop resource for all your carpet, tile, and upholstery needs. Save yourself some time by trusting Dirt Free to do the job correctly. I've used Dirt Free for a long time. I used them in Austin. Now I use them here in Houston. They truly are statewide, and they've got the best technology in the game. They're Houston's leading carpet cleaning professionals because they're not using soaps or chemicals, which can damage your carpet fibers long term. They've got a non-toxic patented pre-spray along with super water and truck-powered equipment that can clean any surface, and that's what really sets them apart. Once the stains are gone, they're not going to come back, and they're not just doing carpet. They do tile, stone, leather, oriental rugs, upholstery, air ducts, marble, all with that unique patented technology. And they do it now on Sundays. Sunday service now available. Get a free room with a free speed dry with any purchase when you donate a new toy for Toys for Tots. So you give a toy, you get a free room cleaned. 'Tis the season for giving in a clean home, and a clean home always begins with the light, brand new look and feel of clean carpets. Call 281-347-8373. That's 281-347-8373. Or visit Dirt Free online at dirtfreecarpet.com for 24-hour scheduling and additional specials. That's 281-347-8373 for Dirt Free cleaning.
You're listening to The Blitz. On ESPN 97.5. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. Get back to your phone calls in just a second, but right now we have Dr. Matthew Mays on the line.
Dr. Mays with the Richmond Bone and Joint Clinic. Doc, how are you today?
Doing great. How you doing?
We're doing well. Okay, Martellus Bennett was supposed to come back last week, and then more discomfort with his ribs. Turns out he's got fractured ribs. They put him on the season-ending IR. Is this more of a pain tolerance thing, or I mean, what is this when it boils down to it?
You know, it's a little tough to say, particularly with looking into, you know, how Bennett's been getting along with the team and whatnot. It's a little tough to know what really is going on, but straight up, if he does have fractured ribs, then there is some component of pain tolerance. That being said, I'd say you really can't play if you've got more than one broken rib in the first few weeks. You've got to get at least a little bit of healing going, and then you can try to bind them up and make them a little bit more comfortable. And it takes about 6 weeks to fully heal. You know, the trouble is not all rib fractures are alike. You've got some that are just barely cracked. And, of course, you've got some that are completely broken in two, in which case it's not even safe to play until it's fully healed.
And this is something that there's no surgery for this, right? It's mostly just a lay around and let it heal up.
Right, exactly. They heal essentially every time and never require surgery. It's just a matter of giving it time. It's got a good blood supply. They'll heal. But really, if you just keep offending it, keep pounding on it, then, you know, you're making it worse. And if it really, really is broken in two, you could worry about, you could risk puncturing a lung or something like that with any contact.
All right. That's Dr. Matthew Mays with the Richmond Bone and Joint Clinic. Appreciate the time, Doc.
You bet. Take care.
All right.
All right. Tracy asked, what are the odds Fournette gets over 275 yards versus Tech?
Ooh, that's a big number.
Yeah, I'd say that's still pretty slim. And she goes, she thinks it is important Les wins this bowl, hashtag perception. Maybe to the fan base, but it doesn't mean crap. I mean, he's still got his job. He'll be back next year.
And if they fire him after a bowl game, they're even dumber than they were going to fire him at the end of the season.
I mean that's these things are exhibitions, man. They're important to the fans because you get to travel. And they're important to schools that are playing in bowls that are over their heads, basically. But for everybody else, man, it's not like anything the rest of the season. A lot of them, it's a month off between the game. Coaches are using this for practice time for next year. I know everybody gets excited about it because it's a reward. But is the Texas Bowl really a reward for LSU? That's what you have to ask yourself. For a fan who lives here, yeah, it's great. You get to go.
It's a reward for the program to have extra practice time and things like that. But at the beginning of the year, well, who knows what LSU thought they were going to be at the beginning of the year. I mean,
they weren't saying, man, at the end of the year, if we get to go to the Texas Bowl, oh, man.
But I also don't think LSU at the beginning of the year, not many people thought that they were, you know, going to be in the playoff either.
No, let's be honest, though. They're
a Cotton Bowl or something
like
that.
Their worst season is a Cotton Bowl, usually.
Right.
A game like that's the second tier among the SEC schools. And it's not just LSU. There's a lot of schools like that. And yeah, that's why Oklahoma fan was so excited when they beat Alabama a couple years ago. And it's like, dude, that was your Super Bowl because OU had not been to a game like that for a couple years. And Alabama thought it was going to be playing for a national championship. So same reason Utah beat Alabama. And you know, it's the same reason that Central Florida beat Baylor a couple years ago. And it's like that to Central Florida, that's huge. Going to the Fiesta Bowl. It's like going to the Peach Bowl. It's a huge deal to them. You think Baylor is nice that they got there, but for them, oh, we get to play Central Florida. Ooh. Right. And that's one of those things you have to factor in when you start looking at these games and when you start handicapping them, especially. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776.
Did you see this this stat about the Warriors going forward for the rest of the year, which we haven't really gotten to dig into them a lot? Well, I know you and I both wanted to talk about them more than we have, and I know people around here probably hate hearing about the Warriors because, you know, they're good. But the Warriors, for the rest of the season, and this is according to Las Vegas Westgate, the rest of the season, the Warriors will be underdogs in one game if nobody gets seriously hurt. That one game, March 19th at the Spurs.
Wow.
Every other game they're going to be favored to win for the rest of the year. That's amazing. Mm. How good is that team? When are they going to lose, Fred?
Maybe at Cleveland. Maybe. Texter says, Urban Meyer is the reason Utah beat Alabama. Yeah, except Kyle Whittingham coached the team in that game. Sorry. Sorry about that. Yeah.
Same thing, though.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. That's
pretty,
the same guy.
They're pretty much the same guy.
No question.
Shame.
Pretty much the same guy. All right, I'm going to tell you guys about Pajamagram. I'm telling you guys about these Pajamagrams every Christmas, it seems like, because it's a really easy gift for you guys. The way to make her happy, there's ways to make you happy there as well. Christmas is coming. This year, go with the win-win. Something that's going to make her feel warm and something that's going to heat up your holiday. The hoodie footy, something great that she's going to love. Let's face it, it's hard to get things hot when she's freezing cold, and that's where the hoodie footy comes in. Combines the warmth of a hoodie with the coziness of footy pajamas. Head-to-toe warmth means she'll be hot and ready to go in no time. And, you know, if that's not your thing, if you're thinking, oh, I don't, you know, is that really going to be sexy? Maybe not, but it's going to make her happy. And then maybe underneath that hoodie footy, she's got the Midnight Fantasy on. And then you can opt for the sweet and sexy gift set. Includes a hoodie footy and a sexy Midnight Fantasy. You buy both today at Pajamagram.com. And you save $60. And you don't have to wrap because every Pajamagram includes free gift packaging. Christmas delivery is guaranteed. Visit Pajamagram.com or call 1-800-GIVE-PJs. Make it a hoodie footy holiday. Tell them with AJ with ESPN 97.5 sent you. That's Pajamagram.com.
Reminiscing about the last time the task force flipped. Ziggin' be running through the block. Shootin'. Time to start the revolution. Catch a body head for Houston once they caught us off guard. The man's hand was in the grass and I ran.
ESPN 97.5.
Back on the Blitz. Don't miss the midseason finale of Arrow tonight on the CW. Stay tuned for your chance to win Arrow's Green Machine giveaways. That's Arrow tonight at 7, only on CW 39. Also want to tell you, for those of you who have been asking for us to make the gambling book available as a gift for people, it's now on the website. You just scroll down to the gift card. I actually put it on the Blitz Facebook page, but you can pick up a gift card and give the gift of the greatest introduction to sports betting ever voiced on audiobook to your fellow degenerates for the low, low price of $12.99. You can't beat that. And if you want to buy our Royals book, there's also a gift card option there for $13.99. So,
ooh, the markup on that, huh?
Yeah, it's a dollar more. Oh, but
you
should
have charged more for ours.
We're doing okay with it. I'm not too worried about it. But what I would just say, for those of you who don't like to shop, this is perfect, man. You just go online, and ladies, I'm talking to you, for your fellas, buy him this. He'll thank you for it. He'll think you really care. And the truth is, you're just listening to the show and saying, hey, that sounds like a good idea.
A couple of people have asked on Twitter about Markieff Morris, which, why is everybody interested in Markieff Morris? Why do fans seem to want that guy on their team? I'm not sure.
Well, he's another guy that doesn't really fit what they're trying to do here.
Yeah. Markieff Morris, I don't even want him. I have him on my fantasy team, and I wish I didn't. I'd be looking to move him. But the problem with the Markieff Morris option, and obviously, Terrence Jones and Monty Unis are restricted free agents, and they're probably going to get, you know, more than what it would cost to have Markieff Morris for the next 3 years. 3 years, $24 million is what he's owed after this year, so you're going to get more money than that. And Jones and Morris are kind of the, I don't want to say they're the same guy, but they're kind of the same guy. So you know, from a money standpoint, I understand it. The problem is Terrence Jones is making no money right now, and Markieff Morris is making $8 million a year, so you can't trade him straight up.
You probably have to include Patrick Beverly in that deal.
Well, that's, you can do that after December 15th. Before December 15th, when players who sign this offseason can be traded, it would take either Ty Lawson or Trevor Ariza to create a workable deal. Are the Rockets looking to do that? I don't know.
They might be with Ty Lawson. They may be ready to punt on that already.
Pat Beverly, Corey Brewer, and KJ McDaniels can be added to the list after that date, after December 15th. The Suns aren't going to be interested in adding Corey Brewer because that's they want guys with no years on the contract.
Right.
It's just not a – there's not a great situation. Another deal that might work after December 15th is Jones, KJ McDaniels, and Sam Decker for – Morris, but are, I mean, how much better are you getting?
Yeah, what are you getting better? You're just getting rid of a guy you're going to have to pay, yeah. Basically.
There's not a lot. I don't know. I mean, it's almost it's more of a money move than a basketball move is what it boils down to. Another trade they mentioned is Lawson and Jones for Morris and PJ Tucker, which would work from a money standpoint, but the Suns. They don't even look at Ty Lawson as like a player. They're looking at him as an expiring contract. So that's kind of where you're at.
And Munoz says the only reason fans are asking is because Mark Stein reported the Rockets were targeting him in a trade.
Yeah, that's why they're targeting him. Right. It's not because he's going to help their team. It's
if they are targeting him, because how many times have we seen a name like this pop up and Daryl Morey's actually been going after him? And they always trade for guys you don't hear about. So I usually the other team will leak that. So I don't know, because I just don't know why you'd be interested in him. I don't know what he adds to this team. He doesn't fit. It's just, and he's already getting paid $8 million a year.
Yep.
So it doesn't make a ton of sense to me. Soccer Bilal wants a shout out because it's his birthday and the last day of grad school. Well done, Soccer Bilal.
I don't know if we can do that. I promised a shout out earlier today.
Well, you can still do it.
Yeah. I got to find that guy.
You got to make sure you call, you got to call in Glenn's show. He'll give you a shout-out, too.
Oh, okay.
Not you, him.
It's Josh. Josh says he plays for the Golden Triangle Seminoles. Have you ever heard of this?
No.
An NFL developmental team in the developmental league, the MPFL. What's MPFL? He said, any way we could get a mention or a shout-out? And I said, yeah. Just remind me when the show comes around, which he didn't, but I'm shouting him out
anyway. I'm guessing is a semi-pro league, which can, okay. So, hey, glad you're still playing.
Shout out to the Golden Triangle Seminoles. I hope you guys have a good season.
Let's grab a phone call. Tony, you are on the Blitz. Go, sir.
Hey, sports guys. Just wanted to ask what are the odds that the rumors about Holly Holm asking for a fight with Misha Tate are true? And as a side note, what are the odds that Dana White opens up a 145-pound women's division? I'll hang up and listen.
I think if he opens up another women's division, it'll be a 125-pound division before 145. And I don't know what I mean, he's already said that the next fight is going to be Ronda Rousey, Holly Holm again. And I don't know if he wants to put, especially Misha Tate and Holly Holm, because if Misha wins, that means we have to watch Ronda fight Misha again. And I think we all know how that story goes.
And Holly's agent is the one who was saying that they wanted to fight Misha Tate because it's going to be at least a year probably before Ronda can fight again.
Or at least at the earliest, it'll be late summer.
Yeah, realistically, though, I think we're looking at a year from now. Just based on everything we've read about what Ronda's still dealing with and just getting back into training and being able to get hit again. But his point was that Holly is somebody who needs to get in the ring and fight. And he'd like to get that fight first, and they'd live with it if she lost. But, I think that would be an interesting fight. But I don't think Dana will ever let it happen because you don't want to blow your big money rematch,
right?
Which is what it would do. Although, he's done that before with the first Aldo McGregor, and that could have easily backfired.
Could have.
So, we'll see. Kenneth on Facebook says the Warriors' schedule has been...
But the difference is... Aldo, the money draw was McGregor.
Right, but if he'd lost, you weren't going to, that fight wasn't going to do the same as it's going to do this week.
True.
So they were willing to gamble on that. And I don't think anybody wants to see Tate Rousey again except for Tate.
No, she's the only one.
Yeah. Hey, guys, got to tell you about my good friends at Texas Mattress Makers. This Christmas, give the gift that will keep giving. You can make the merriest with 10% off the showroom models for a happier, more fulfilled sleep. And I'll tell you what, if you're not going to buy it for yourself, give the gift of a great night's sleep to somebody else. The Paris King set is down to $799.99. The London Luxury King set is $999.99. And let me tell you about these mattresses at Texas Mattress Makers. They make them with all American products, with quality craftsmanship, right there at the factory, and they sell them directly to you. They custom fit you for the right bed so you sleep better and you save money, and right now you're going to save even more. So you want to buy somebody a really cool gift, go to Texas Mattress Makers, get them set up, give them great sleep. They're going to thank you for it, and you can make it a very Merry Christmas. Buy straight from the factory, save money. Texas Mattress Makers, they always make it about your sleep. And if you go, they're going to teach you everything you need to know. I mean, you're going to learn something when you go in there, believe me, about how you sleep better. They're going to tell you what they can do to fix your sleep, and it's going to make things much, much better for you, and it's going to make things much, much better for them if you get it for them. They're at 4619 Navigation at the corner of Lockwood and Navigation, and if you see Yuval and the gang, tell them I sent you. They will take care of you. They love the Blitzers. Better sleep at factory prices. That's Texas Mattress Makers, TexasMattressMakers.com.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.